Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 216 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we're going to talk about when a rash might not just be a rash, when eczema might not just be eczema, when things like eczema and psoriasis, possibly hives, or even swollen lymph nodes, which some clients have presented with in my clinic in the past, could be a sign of something deeper, something bigger, something like lymphoma. And this episode is not meant to scare you by any stretch of the imagination, but it is meant to raise awareness. And my guest today, Dr. Peter Leo, who's back, you guys know I love him. He is a good friend of the Healthy Skin Show. He was willing to come on and talk about this important topic. Before we dive into today's conversation, I wanted to give a shout out to a 5-star review that went live recently from the user Inspire Ignite Impact. This was the amazing review, and I deeply appreciate it. I've been listening to this podcast and have learned so much when it comes to my skin and possible reasons for my skin rashes. This podcast is well worth your time to listen to. Jennifer is fantastic at providing information to those of us who are doing our own research to heal our bodies. If I could give it more than 5 stars, I would. Thank you for taking the time to write out this review. You guys, these reviews do matter, and it means a lot because you are actually recommending this to other people. If you wanted to know what a podcast was like, if you were to tell a friend about the podcast, that's exactly the best thing to do when you rate and review a show, because it helps someone else make a decision and to know that it's worth their time to dive in, because there's so much good educational content that it is going to be helpful for them. So really, you're not helping me or the Healthy Skin Show. You're actually helping other people in our community find the value and realize that there's so much that they can get out of this show. And that's why I always encourage you, if you've really learned a lot, if you love the Healthy Skin Show, rate and review the show. All right, so let's dive into today's conversation with Dr. Peter Leo. If you guys might recall, he's been on the show a number of times. If you've missed those episodes, allow me the moment to introduce him to you. Dr. Leo is a clinical assistant professor of dermatology and pediatrics at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. He received his medical degree from Harvard Medical School, completed his internship in pediatrics at Boston Children's Hospital, and his dermatology training at Harvard, where he served as chief resident in dermatology. And while at Harvard, he received formal training in acupuncture. He's also written a great textbook for practitioners on integrative dermatology and has published over 100 papers. And as a personal note, Dr. Leo has always come across to me as incredibly kind, very open-minded, and always willing to look at cases from different perspectives, which I so deeply appreciate him for. So let's dive into today's conversation. Hey, Dr. Leo, thank you so much for coming back to the show. You know you're one of my favorite guests, and you are a favorite guest of the listeners because of how empathetic and caring and creative you are as well. I'm excited to have this conversation today because it's a little more on the serious side, a little more serious, but really, really important. So we're going to be talking about when skin issues might be a sign of something more serious, like lymphoma. And if you didn't know that that was a possible, I guess, a symptom almost. But so let's start with, do you have a case example that you could share with us where maybe someone presents with some sort of rash, whether it's psoriasis or eczema or whatever, but it ends up becoming something else?
Absolutely. And you know, it's really important, I think, to bring this out, because one of the things that gets a lot of medical students interested in doing dermatology, present company included, I was interested in it as well, is because part of our job is to look at the skin and be able to use that as a window, so to speak, to the body. And it is really difficult. And it was so cool. I remember being a medical student and just being incredibly impressed that, you know, the seasoned cardiology professor who had been around, you know, for a long time and was gray at the temples and would have a patient of his and it would say, I don't know what's going on the skin. And the young dermatologist walked in and was like, oh, this, don't worry. You know? And I was like, wow, like they are like a Jedi. How did they know what was going on? They could see it, but that's what it means to train in an area and become an expert in a subject area. So we often think about the chronic things that we do treat and the common things that people know about acne and rosacea and things. But part of the interesting part of derm is looking at those what we call cutaneous manifestations of systemic disease. And there are whole books on them. And in fact, there are also a whole bunch of signs that are called paraneoplastic signs. These are things that are associated with cancer. And again, they're all pretty rare. Many of them are very, very rare. Some of them are even kind of controversial. Do they really exist? Are they just some artifact? Are they just a historical footnote? And we wrote a big article a couple of years ago, my co-chief resident and I, after we finished residency, kind of talking about all of them. And it was really, really insightful because sometimes you realize, gosh, well, how can you tell the difference? So a case that I remember really well back when I was still in Boston, this is more than a decade ago now, I had this really nice lady who had terrible, terrible hand eczema. They were dry, they were cracked, and we did all sorts of stuff. She had seen a few people and had, you know, just minimal improvement. I did all of my tricks, and I just really couldn't get her much better. She was the nicest patient, and she was really suffering. They would bleed and crack, and then we this carried on for 3, 4, 5 months. You know, we tried a whole bunch of different things, and finally, one day, she came in, and I said, are you feeling okay? What's wrong? She was kind of sitting funny. She looked uncomfortable. And it turned out that her belly didn't feel good. And I did a little bit of an exam, but I have to confess, she was a bit heavy set and I couldn't tell much. I said, you know, I'm just worried about you. Let's get you checked out. Sure enough, she had a lymphoma. And the lymphoma was pretty aggressive and it was kind of rapidly growing in her belly. But they treated the lymphoma and her skin cleared up. So we think that, you know, in retrospect, I'm like, gosh, you know, it was kind of a funny one. It was super dry and scaly. It probably was a paraneoplastic sign. Now, I don't want to scare everybody. These are super duper duper rare. But in situations where things aren't getting better, where we're stuck, that's why you'll often see us. And that's why, you know, it's good to see a medical doctor because we have that training. People sometimes rip on dermatologists. You guys aren't real doctors. It's like, I know we don't seem like it sometimes, you know, if we're just popping pimples or something, but we really are. We really went through medical school. We really spent time in the oncology unit and all those different things. And that shapes you. You get a different perspective than if you, you know, estheticians know a lot about skin and they probably know more about day-to-day skincare stuff and products than I do. They could beat me because that's their world, but they never spend time in the cancer ward. They never spend time post-surgical unit. So that's okay. It's different specialists and different expertise. So I think this was a situation where that kind of training served me. And I said, we better check this out. And of course, I didn't do the workup. I sent her back to her primary doctor saying, I'm worried about her. And then we were able to make the diagnosis.
Well, the one case that I can also share is that I worked with a woman who had this chronic eczema, and she also had swollen lymph nodes. And lymph nodes being swollen can be a sign for a number of things. And I just said, you know, I really think you need to go get that checked. And she felt like, you know, her family doctor wasn't really taking it seriously. And I said, no, I really think you gotta keep pushing. And lo and behold, it turned out that she did have lymphoma. And I said, listen, you need to address that, right? So when you find out that you have lymphoma, no matter what the skin manifestation is, that the lymphoma takes precedence. Is that my understanding and my sense would be lymphoma is more important than focusing on how do I get rid of the rash? Because like you said, it was actually a sign of an underlying problem. And you had said, right, that the woman's hand eczema actually went away after addressing.
It was gone. It was totally totally gone. And that is such a good point, because I would say there are two areas where I'm really thinking about this kind of situation, where my spider sense goes off, if you will. The first is new onset, you know, a rapid, sudden onset of something. So in a way, the easier patient is the patient who sees me as a young adult or even an older adult but says, you know, I've had eczema my whole life, right? Or I've had psoriasis for many years. You feel much better about it. You're like, okay, this is your protoplasm. This is sort of what we got to deal with, you know, or I have a strong family history of this. That's easier. The more concerning cases, like this patient, was I never had any skin problems my whole life. You know, maybe I had some acne as a teenager, and then here I am in my 40s, and suddenly my hands are the worst hand eczema that everyone's ever seen. You're like the fourth doctor to look at it, and no one can fix me. Those kind of situations are going to make us say, we got to think about it. And the other, of course, is if we can't get somebody better. And I think one of the things we see a lot in my area, focus atopic dermatitis, is that cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, CTCL, sometimes called mycosis fungoides, is a kind of skin lymphoma. The good news is, for the most part, it's actually not that dangerous. Most of the patients who have a mild form of it actually do fine. It's not as scary as it sounds. But it often takes years to diagnose, and many biopsies and many tests. It's one of these tricky things. And the weirdest thing is, the more specialized my clinic has gotten, where I'm seeing these really tough cases, the more of it I'm seeing. You know, I'm like, boy, you failed everything, all of our tricks. Boy, your skin looks terrible. I'm like, I'm going to do another biopsy. I'm going to do flow cytometry of your blood. I'm going to figure out what else is going on. And then we've had a flurry of these cases where I'm like, actually, I'm so sorry. The reason you're not getting better is it hasn't been eczema. It's this other thing. And then we send them to a CTCL center and an expert who can get them through it. And many patients do very, very well. So, but it is something different. It can mimic. And I think we see that with eczema. We can see that with psoriasis. Of course, we know on the nipple area, the breast rashes are also kind of concerning. They can look like nipple eczema, which is not an uncommon thing, but there is a type of breast cancer that can make this kind of inflammatory appearance. Sometimes they call it inflammatory ductal carcinoma, and you can actually see a change in the breast area, the nipple area. Again, I don't want to alarm people. 99 times out of 100, maybe even more, it's just nipple eczema. So what would I tell my patient if they say, hey, you know, I have a rash in my nipple. I looked it up on the internet and they said, be afraid of breast cancer. I said, okay, don't worry. We'll take a look. You know, it looks fine. Let's try the treatment. And if the treatment, if it goes away, well, then we know it's not cancer, because the cancer doesn't just clear right up, typically speaking. So if it's being stubborn or it's not, you know, being persistent, not responding like we hope, then I'm going to say we're going to take a biopsy. We're going to go to the next level.
So when you say if it doesn't respond to treatment, does that essentially mean like it doesn't respond to, I mean, steroid creams and steroids tend to be like some of the first options. Would that be one possible sign that it wouldn't respond to a steroid?
Definitely. You know, steroids are a little tricky because they do help so many things. And one of my teachers used to always say, you know, if you remember the CHOP regimen for lymphomas and leukemias, they'll call it CHOP. The P in CHOP, it stands for different things, but the P stands for prednisone. So steroids actually do have, to some degree, they can be used to fight cancers. So they're not the best bellwether, because they kind of help everything. And in fact, you know, one of the things we'll say too is like, kind of everything can get better with steroids temporarily, including infection. You know, sometimes you can put steroids on an infection and kind of mask it. So yes, but I think it is a little bit of a longer picture. It's the overall treatment response. So yeah, maybe they put a steroid on and it got better that day. That doesn't necessarily make me feel better if it flares up 2 days later or next week and it's worse than ever. Then I might say something is fishy.
And so you had mentioned that this can be very difficult to pick up. Are there certain red flag signs when you're assessing a patient? So if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh no, I have these symptoms and I never even told my dermatologist about these, is there anything that someone, I mean, I think that swollen lymph nodes are a red flag that should be assessed by a medical doctor. But in your experience in practice, what are some red flag signs that might even be outside of the skin that people might not put two and two together about?
Definitely. You know, I think there's a number of things that I would ask about, sort of the B symptoms. You know, are you losing weight? that you're not trying to lose. You know, suddenly it's like, boy, you know, I wasn't gaining weight, which I was first happy about, but now I'm losing weight and I can't seem to put weight on. Are you having night sweats? Are you having, you know, trouble with in terms of things like falling asleep or getting up a lot, having issues? Are you feeling like you're feeling nauseated? Are you having pain in your body in different places? These are some of the softer signs that we can kind of put together. Sometimes people can even have fevers as a sign that there's something brewing. So we're kind of asking about overall health. We're asking about some of these points. But I would argue, by definition, these can be a little tricky. So what we'll do if we're not sure is we'll say, just listen, I want you to make sure you see your primary doctor, get your physical, make sure all of your screening is up to date, your routine screening, because that's really, really important, especially if there's something going on. And so it can be difficult and we can easily miss these things for a while.
So in these instances where someone, say, does actually discover that they have a lymphoma, and I'm sure it's really hard to tell a patient that something like that is going on. It's not, I know when my dad was alive and he used to have to tell a patient like, hey, your CT scan shows that you, or MRI shows that you have a, you know, some sort of tumor or something going on. It was a hard conversation to have. Is there something, if someone has found this out recently, that you could, like, some wisdom that you could impart to them? Because I mean, if someone told me I had lymphoma, honestly, I'd probably be freaking out.
It is scary, you know, even for these less severe ones, like we were saying, the cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, actually for most patients is okay. They're going to do all right. The prognosis is generally pretty good for the milder cases. But you're right. I think, you know, we really need to give patients a beat to kind of let it sink in. A lot of times what I found is that no matter what I say for the rest of the visit, it's sort of doesn't stick. Like, they're just kind of like in shock. So usually if I feel like that's going that way, I'll kind of say my piece, I'll give some printed stuff and I'll say, listen, let's talk tonight. Why don't you call me when you get home? Because some of you are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I totally, like, I just wasn't myself. I sort of, it's like, yeah, you were a little bit of shock and it's really hard to pay attention to something or take notes on it. So it's like, well let's follow up. We'll talk by phone when you're relaxed. And sometimes it's also really nice to have a family member around too, because the other person can sort of help just sort of contain the environment and ask the questions. But a lot of times I just really have to say, we're going to talk again very soon, take a few days to digest it. And the good thing is, at least for my line of work, and we're lucky, dermatology, we're kind of lucky because we catch stuff pretty early. We're catching stuff, you know, with these other signs. A lot of times it's not a CT scan, right? I wouldn't have that in front of me. So I'm going to be making this diagnosis really early. So I get to sort of say, listen, I don't know, but it's possible. It's not that bad. And, you know, we don't know yet. So let's keep optimistic. We caught it. You know, we know what's going on. Let's get you to the right people. And then we'll go from there. So I'm kind of lucky. I can sort of push that on the poor oncologist who, you know, has to have their fair share of conversations where it's like, okay, it's actually not easy, you know, but some of them are, honest to goodness. Some of the patients, you know, were like, wow, we caught, like, that lady with the hands. I mean, they treated her. I mean, she was fine. She was totally fine. They caught this lymphoma in pretty early. And some of the lymphomas are very, very treatable, which is great.
And when you say treatable, is that like a chemo thing or a radiation type deal? I mean, I'm sure people are wondering.
I think it's out of my bailiwick. I don't know all their stuff, but yes, you know, typically there's a chemo regimen. Sometimes there is radiation, you know, things like that. And they have their different protocols. So there's some really, really cool breakthroughs. And, you know, especially in the kids, right? Pediatric cancer is incredibly, incredibly optimistic now. You know, it used to be like such a sad kind of thing. We'd be like, oh my gosh. But now there are just incredible breakthroughs in pediatric leukemias and lymphomas and all these different cancers. So many patients really have a much better chance than they did even 5 or 10 years ago. So there's new innovation. Obviously, it's still scary. And obviously, some patients don't, you know, make it. But there are some new exciting things. So I think that's helpful. And melanoma is another thing. Of course, we as dermatologists deal with a bunch. And I've had many patients with melanoma. And a lot of the melanomas I find, I always tell the story, the majority in my experience have been incidental. You know, we do all this skin screening and stuff, right? I mean, I have all these patients that are getting checked. Most of them, I find, you know, small potatoes, lots of basal cell and squamous cell cancer, which we can usually treat very, very easily. They're very common. Patients freak out initially, especially for their first ones. Like, oh my gosh, I have cancer. It's like, nope. I'm like, trust me, the person you were sitting next to in the waiting room probably had 25 of these in the last year. You know, every time they come in, we take something off. So those are easy. But melanoma is much more serious. And the ones that I've caught, you know, I had a young guy, he was a bodybuilder guy. This is a number of years ago, real buff dude. And he said, you know, I think I have a cyst on my back. It's been bugging me. And he had seen a primary doctor. His primary doctor thought it was a cyst too, not unreasonable. You know, it was just sort of a lump. But I said, you know, there's no punctum. A cyst should kind of have that large pore on top. And I kind of mashed on it. I'm like, it doesn't feel like a cyst to my fingers. And I remember the teaching of one of my favorite mentors, Paul Levins, who's actually now in California. He's at UCLA. He's an incredible dermatologist. And he said, you know, Peter, we're not allowed to tell a patient we don't know and then it's just benign. He's like, if you're not a specialist, you can just say, oh, I don't know what it is, but it's fine. He's like, we're not allowed to do that. We actually have to put a name on it. And I was like, that kind of haunted me in that moment. I said, I don't think it's anything bad, but I don't know what it is. So I'm freaked out. So I took a biopsy and sure enough, it was an invasive melanoma. It was an amelanotic melanoma, which is a thing that makes dermatologists lose sleep. No pigment. So it just looked like a lump and it was pretty thick and pretty deep. And actually, we caught it. We, you know, had it removed. He saw a surgical oncologist. He ended up getting some chemo, but he actually did okay. He made it. He survived. I mean, I had seen him, you know, probably 4 or 5 years out. At that point, your, you know, chance of death is really, really low. I mean, he was kind of in remission and did it. But that's the kind of situation where a lot of my worst melanomas have been found, these kind of incidental things where people say, you think it's anything? I'm not worried about it. And I'm like, actually, I'm worried about it.
Well, you bring up a good point about like this weird lump cyst thing. Would that possibly look like a lipoma? Which could you describe what that is or define what a lipoma is?
Sure. Lipomas are really, really common. They're basically little fatty lumps. They're just a little bit of extra fat tissue. It's usually just under the skin. They kind of feel like a little squishy lump or bump. Some people have tons of them. I have some families who make like dozens and dozens of them. Some people just have one or two. And generally speaking, they should feel soft and kind of smushy and kind of fatty. They feel like fat, like chicken fat. And if they're not changing or growing and they've been there for a while, I'm usually cool with it, you know, I wouldn't worry. But if somebody says, you know, it's growing or it's painful, there's one called an angiolipoma. It's not dangerous, but it hurts sometimes, like, ooh, it kind of hurts. We'll remove them. And if we're not sure, we'll say, you know what, let's just take it out. If it's freaking you out, I want to just be sure and take it out. And again, like 99.9% are going to be boring, nothing. It's just that once in a while, you know, and it just, his didn't feel right. I said, you know, I don't take out every lipoma I see a lot of them. Then I'll say, this feels fine to me. You know, we'll keep an eye, but that guy's didn't feel right. So that's how we kind of make that decision based on the clinical impression.
This is such an interesting conversation. And this underscores the reason why I have a lot of listeners who will email me and say, I don't know what I have. I have this rash. I've had it for a long time, but they've been trying to address it naturally. And I always believe that you should have a team. It's important to have a partnership because I don't, like, you picked up on something that, because you're trained, as you said, it's crucial to have someone who has training to look at things from that higher level perspective, because it is always possible that it could be more serious than just eczema or psoriasis or chronic hives. Have you seen too with chronic, like any cases of chronic hives where there have been, that's actually a sign of some sort of lymphoma or cancer issue?
Yes. I think in my experience, less commonly is hives something dangerous like that, but it can be other things. We definitely know that people with chronic hives can be what we call pre-bullous bullous pemphigoid. And bullous pemphigoid is a blistering condition. It's an autoimmune blistering condition. Usually it happens in much older people, like over 65, that we'll see it in. But sometimes for years, they just have kind of bad, I mean, they really look like hives. In fact, even the biopsy looks like hives. So it's not just the clinical impression. Even under the microscope, they really kind of are hives, but they're the beginning of bullous pemphigoid. And we've had a few patients where suddenly, you know, we've been trying to treat it. It won't get better. Gosh, why are these hives so stubborn? And then one day the patient came in and she was an elderly lady. She was like 85, but spunky, you know, full of energy. And she said, I'd shake your hand, but look. And she showed me her hand. There were just giant blisters. And I said, ah, now we know what you got. You have bullous pemphigoid. And it's been going like this, you know, it had been going on almost a year. We had been trying all this stuff and I couldn't get her hives. So it was pre-bullous bullous pemphigoid, a more serious condition, but pretty treatable. You know, we can treat it. But untreated, it, you know, can be kind of yucky. You get blisters, they can get infected and people can get really sick from it.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you so much for this because it's an important reminder. As I said, you have to have a team. And this is where having a dermatologist is important because you need someone to look at things from that other, that higher level. And as I always say, think about symptoms that may be outside of the skin, right? Because that's what you shared, is that you could have these symptoms that are like, hey, I'm waking up in the middle of the night, I have night sweats, I have all of these issues, and then this like sudden onset of eczema that's just weird and we can't get rid of it. And that really could be a warning sign that something else is going on, where, you know, a diet isn't going to fix that. And you do really need specialists to support you through that. And I just wanted, I too do not want anyone to walk away from this conversation scared and thinking that they have cancer. But I also want to remind people that it is important to have your rashes looked at by a dermatologist and to get an annual, what do you call it? A sunspot check or what is that called?
Like a skin, a skin check or skin screening. Yeah,
yes,
that's a great
like
thing to do.
For melanomas and things like that too, correct?
Absolutely. If your primary doctor does it, that's great. And usually they're kind of tuned in. And if there's a spot they're worried about, they can send it in. But many, many, many people come in to do it annually. And we try to accommodate as best we can. Sometimes I get a little overwhelmed. We get so many skin checks. We're trying to get the patients with rashes, but it's such a good thing. And of course, most importantly, if there's a spot you're worried about, or there's something that doesn't make sense, get that checked. That's definitely what we're there for. And even if you don't like what your dermatologist says, you know, if they say, oh, I want to put steroids on it, and you say, I don't want to use steroids, at least we say, okay, we kind of know, at least we're not worried that it's something more nefarious, something more scary. So then we can go our other directions. But I like to have that at least as an anchor point, that we say, we feel good. We have a diagnosis. We're confirmed. We're not worried about other things.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this and just providing people with a different perspective. As always, you are one of the most empathetic physicians and dermatologists I know, and I love having you on the show. And I just appreciate your approach to how you have helped so many people, and you continue to give and be so generous with your time and your wisdom. So thank you so much, Dr. Leo. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I love talking with you, and it's so fun. And even if we help just one or two people, that to me makes it worth it.
I hope that you have taken a lot away from this conversation, and also that this was not intended whatsoever to make you afraid or to put you into a panic about what you have going on. We are by no means saying that lymphoma is a common thing if your eczema just doesn't seem to resolve, but it may be something that your doctor should consider if you really don't feel like you're getting anywhere. It may be a worthwhile question to ask of your physician who knows your case and can dig a little bit deeper. If you'd like to connect with Dr. Leo, or you have a question or comment that you'd love to ask, head on over to skinterrupt.com/216. You can leave your questions and comments there and check out all of the resources that we have in the show notes for this episode. And then make a point to share this episode with someone you know, whether it's in a Facebook group or it's online, or just simply forwarding the URL to this episode to someone else, because this is not something that is readily talked about within our community. And if it saves just one person, if it gives one person an answer that they really, really need, because think about it, if it was you, you would really appreciate if somebody emailed you this episode and connected you with it, and this turned out to be your actual issue, it would mean so much. So make a point to share. And since I asked you guys to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show in the beginning of this episode, make sure you subscribe to the actual show so you do not miss any of the weekly doses of hope, inspiration, research, insight, patient stories, and just all sorts of tips and alternative strategies that will help you on your journey to rebuild healthy skin. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.